Jesus said, I only speak what my Father in heaven says.
That's right.
Just imagine living your entire life where every single word that comes out of your mouth is what the Father says you speak. Just imagine that. Yeah. We need to say that out loud here.
Yeah.
I only speak what my Father tells me to speak. I bet you he was a quiet person unless he was teaching the gospel. They say Kenneth Hagin was extremely quiet, unless he was talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying this right here over us because we got to have this right here, right now.
Amen.
And we got to speak what the Father tells us to speak.
Right.
For this reason, I bow my knees before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, right now.
Amen.
So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that's us, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us or me, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ to all generations forever and ever.
Amen.
You see that? Say amen.
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 Good
morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're in Acts chapter 7. We stopped at verse 41. So we'll read 41 and continue. All right. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. That's what we ended last week. This is Stephen talking. And he's speaking in his defense. He was accused of blaspheming Moses and the word of God. And he's explaining what happened. And he got to this point. Then they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Now
right.
They...
Dude, here's a question for you, okay? Mm-hmm. What you just said right there, okay? Mm-hmm. Why would these Pharisees and Sadducees and Sanhedrin be so upset for him explaining this right here? Why? Because it was true. They had to know it because, mm-hmm. you know, these guys, man, could quote books to you.
Yeah.
So they had to know what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So why did they get so mad?
They were satanically motivated.
Not just that, but all of the traditions, they believed the traditions of the elders that came from Babylon over mm-hmm. the word of God.
Yeah. That's true. See, when Moses set the standard, he brought them out of Egypt. He didn't just bring them out of a country. He was trying to help them see God like he is. All the miracles, that's their heritage. The Egyptian junk is not their heritage. That's what they were used to. They were used to the Egyptian junk.
The slavery mentality. Too.
Slavery mentality, the religion that keeps them in bondage and captivity.
Amen.
And that's what they were used to.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses had the biggest fight on his hand with the will of man. Now, they would say that they would obey God. But what happens? When they go home, the people that really fear God at home. And the people that really didn't fear God, they murmur and complain. And their children are recording everything we do. Their will is shaped by their first authority figures. In other words, the people taking care of them, their parents or grandparents, their guardians, they look at them. Their voice, that's who they're around. That's who they got a mind all day. So when they talk about Moses, then the children see it the way they do. And over time, it never stops. And then the church, they'll go and they'll say, well, they praise God like everybody else. And the children see that. And then when they go home, they murmur and complain. Well, that gets in their hearts. So when they got in trouble, they wanted to revert back to the Egyptian junk. And there's no... The only way to overcome in this life is to receive God's word and do it. And it breaks every yoke. It breaks everything that the enemy would sin. The light of God's word will expose what it is for you. Because when you receive God's word, somebody speaks a lie, a red flag goes up. But when that word base is not there, there's no, you know, you don't know whether it's true or not. And people are living in a state of confusion. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's your definition of confusion? And this was back in the 90s. He said, confusion is when you don't know what to trust. But when you receive God's word, you know what to trust. And they kept going back to the idols. They couldn't help them, never helped them, and never was going to help them. Verse 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye, house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. They ended up in Babylonian captivity because they kept going back into idolatry. Their love for idolatry never died because they were looking at it from the world standpoint. They wanted a God they can see. It's just like the Pharisees. Show us a sign, then we'll step at least to the moment. Ministry is not just to get people saved. Ministry is designed to give everybody light. And then those that love God will come to it, and those that don't will reject it. It's designed to divide. It's not designed to just save. It saves and it divides. Those that want it will receive it. Those that don't want it won't receive it. And there's at the end of the day, even Christians that got saved and fell in love with the world, they go right back to the world. People always go back. They're going to go to what they love the most. That's why in the beginning, you know, God, he received the light and rejected the darkness. He said, let there be light. He didn't want darkness. He said, let there be light. He gave us the example with the trees. There were two trees. Adam had to select one and reject. When people try to cross the line, I know there are many on TV now, they take the grace message and they try to include everybody, and it won't work. It draws a crowd because people don't know better, but it don't work for them. The only people that are benefited are those who take God as the word. And it's going to always be that way. All right, verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. So if you're anointed, you're anointed. And there were times I had to go back and change my thinking. You know, when I didn't know these things, I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But the anointing was bold, and it came out bold. There was one time I had a writing called The 25 Causes of Poverty, and I shared it with a church. And I thought it was going to be a delightful message, but the same word came out as a rebuke. And I didn't know that it was going to come out as a rebuke while I was doing it. So I just flowed with the Holy Spirit. I said, well, his wisdom says rebuke, so that's what we're going to do. And I read it as a rebuke. But when I got there, I thought it was a nice, comfortable message, a delightful message. But it was a rebuke that day. So I say, I shift the gears with God. You got to shift gears with him. He know what he's doing. And then I sat down, I'll never forget, the man that preached was actually in the reserve. And he was a pastor from Bessemer somewhere. And he came and preached, and he preached a rebuke. So when you flow with the Holy Spirit, you do what's in his heart. I didn't need to be up there fighting with the Holy Spirit trying to make a delightful message. I had to flow with him. And it works. Because when God rebukes, then people can repent. When people repent, they live the life. When they live the life, people get saved. So God, whatever the Lord wants to do, your anointing is not just to draw a crowd. It's not just it's to expose sin for what it is and life for what it is. Actually, it's exposing sin by the life of God. When you walk in a room and you love God and you do his word, you're doing the same thing Jesus did. You're dividing. And you're ministering, you're providing. Anytime you're providing more light, you're also dividing. That's why Jesus said, let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bush. Because you're going to make people feel uncomfortable. And the Lord is doing that on purpose. So we might as well embrace it because it works. You know, penicillin is necessary. Remember that old castor oil and cod liver oil? It was necessary. The world needs a good dose of cod liver oil right now.
Castor oil.
Castor, all of it. Spinach. Brussels sprout. They need everything. All right. 46. 45, which also our fathers that came out to brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. 49. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? Saith the Lord. Or what is the place of my rest? Had not my hand made all these things, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears? Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye.
Oh, man.
A tree.
He was preaching a kind of rough message there.
Yeah. A corrupt tree cannot produce good fruit. The only way to produce good fruit is to be a good tree. And these things, you can trace all these sins back to certain people in the Word of God.
So what Stephen was doing was telling them about the forefathers and about them, what the forefathers did,
mm-hmm.
and saying you're doing what your father's done,
mm-hmm.
resisting God,
yeah.
resisting the Holy Spirit. He wants to work, but you're resisting it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. You can trace all the kings of Israel and some of the kings of Judah, mostly Israel, they followed the sins of Jeremiah, the son of Nebat. What's his name? Jeroboam.
Jeroboam, that was the one that caused all of Israel.
Well, that was
mm-hmm. the
one.
Yeah.
So
Rehoboam was Solomon's son. Jeroboam was the son of Nebat. And he put a calf in Dan and one in Bethel. And he had the people to go to it instead of going to the temple because he feared that they would fall in love with the king of Judah. and kill him, and he loses power in his life.
He had most of the tribe. He had 10 tribes already. I mean, he was trying to keep he even wanted the other two tribes. He had 10 tribes.
Yeah, but
the northern kingdom had 10 tribes. Jeroboam had 10.
That's
10
true.
Tribes.
But see, fear.
The southern kingdom only had two.
But he didn't have the city where he's supposed to worship. So they had to make him a city to worship.
Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't go back.
Right.
To the children of, to they wouldn't go back to Judah.
Right.
Judah only had two tribes.
And he didn't have to do that, but he didn't. Fear is a driver.
That's the reason why the Samaritan woman and everything, you know, says our forefathers worship on this mountain, but you say go worship at the temple. Mm-hmm. So Jesus said, pretty soon you ain't gonna be worshiping neither place.
Mm-hmm. See,
he was doing, he was shifting a whole thing of worship.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Worship wasn't gonna be the same as it used to be.
Now, think about it for a moment. Who was Jeremiah trained by?
Jeroboam.
Who was Jeroboam trained by? Who trained him?
To be king, or mm-hmm. what you're talking about? Jeroboam?
Mm-hmm. He was trained to do that idolatry, but he was trained by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he fled Solomon, he went to Egypt. When he first got anointed, it was the wisdom of God to anoint him because he was a very industrious man. Then he fled to Egypt and he came back an idolater. And the enemy used him as a puppet. See, it's two more that was sent from Egypt. Pharaoh's daughter, whom Solomon married, together with the queen, with the daughter of Pharaoh, they turned Solomon's heart. And then the Syrian king was trained by Pharaoh as well. So that's three fiery darts that from Egypt against Israel. And you can trace all that sin back to Jeroboam, and then you can trace it back to the king of Egypt, and also back through the fear of Saul was in it, and then the idolatry, all the way back to Egypt.
Okay, where can the church get into sin and different things like that? Where can you trace it back to? The world.
The world.
The world.
The world.
We don't
see,
separate ourselves from the world, the thinking, the way they do things.
It's
we
like,
end up doing the same thing that they're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like Brother Horton said, you in a kingdom, you got to learn the kingdom. Bring everything you got in the kingdom. And let Jesus lay his hands on it. And he'll multiply. You know, that was so perfectly put the way he said that. And it's true. We do the word of God, we have to learn our kingdom. And see, the world runs backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first step of prosperity is to be a servant.
Amen.
Because before you can give, you gotta earn. And you know, the revelation of being a servant is found in 1 Peter. The five chapters of 1 Peter teach us how to be a healthy servant. When you have that mindset, you can do anything. That book will heal your relationships. If you can be a servant, if you become a leader, it trains you to become a leader. Because God is the greatest servant. Nobody ever served more than God. But Satan wants to be served.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The anointing is a servant.
Yes, it is.
It serves. It gives. It produces. It's productive. So when you're anointed, you might as well get ready to work.
As your servant.
If you're lazy with the anointing, you'll never know what it can do. If you go out and use that anointing, you're going to find yourself doing miracles. Now, this week, I was watching TBN, and they were talking about Paul Crouch and Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson started CBN first, and then Paul Crouch on the West Coast started TBN. Now, when they did this very, very humble beginnings, when Pat Robertson started the radio, he was doing a radio broadcast. And then when he got the TV station, he said he had $3 in the bank.
$3
in the bank. And then he had to, the first year, the budget was $8,000. That's what they spent the first year. The second year was $20,000. Very humble beginnings. And he ended up ministering to presidents and interviewing presidents. He was anointed to do that. Now, I could see, you know, half his first cousins and friends would have said, you don't need to do that. But prosperity is in the act of anointing. If you activate your anointing, prosperity is in it. And I'm going to show you how it works. When you begin doing something, the Lord gives you more. It takes time. But as you continue, people will start helping. It attracts what you need. And the Lord, is as long as you activating that anointing and obeying God in faith and trust, it always attracts, it always accumulates.
So the anointing is a magnet? Like when Jesus was out using all those people came to him because they were attracted by
this anointing. Yeah, they're attracted, and also sowing and reaping. See, when you obey God, you got to be rewarded. It's a spiritual law that cannot be broken. As long as you're activating that anointing, spiritual wealth is on your life, and you got to receive it. That's why sometimes people can, you know, as they're activating the anointing and they speak things, it comes to them because they're doing the work. Mm-hmm. Faith without works is dead.
That's true.
Inactive. If it's not active faith, it's dormant faith. It's dead faith. It's real faith. It can be alive, but works makes it come alive. Your works. The anointing does the same thing, but in a multiplied way. And remember, the anointing is not of you, it's of God. God gave you ability. It's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. The man that do my books, the Lord gave him an idea for a business. And when he first told me that, I started laughing. I said, and he said, why you laugh? I said, because I know the people are going to be blessed. You're anointed to do this. He's educated to do it, but he's not only educated, he's anointed. I explained. I said, you have God's ability to do this, and people are going to do well. You're going to help people financially. Because his advice to me was always good and biblical. I said, you're anointed. You have God's ability to do this. I said, an educated man will get jealous of you because you have God's ability to do this. And I know it's going to prosper.
Amen.
So when you follow God and you obey him and you activating the anointing, it's multiplying on your life. People are getting saved. People are getting healed, blessed. And the Lord has to reward you for it. And especially to continue the anointing. When I gave away the poem, like Adriana had that poem last week, when you do something with it, watch, the Lord will give you some more. And just yesterday, he gave me another one. And I got one in the book. I gotta type it out and put it on the website. The more you do, the more the anointing, as long as the anointing is activated, it's gonna always produce. So when you obey him, you're going to find yourself doing things that you normally couldn't do. Now, people are watching, they pay more attention to the worldly ways, and they don't know what can be done. Instead of looking at God's word, they're looking at how they think and how other people think. In order to maintain and not do what they're doing in what Stephen's talking about here, you have to watch God while you work. Don't let your strength come from man. Don't depend on people. Rely totally on the Lord. And people are going to encourage you.
Amen.
Don't go by how it seems. You got to look to God.
Amen.
And it works. Okay, verse 52.
It's trying to cut off spot.
Okay. Okay. All right, verse 53. Who have received the law by the dispensation of, well, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which show before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. So that meant Saul heard the whole thing. And these are the pricks that he was kicking against. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Okay, we'll pick up with chapter 8 next week. But the wisdom of God is here. And as we receive what he's saying and do it, you're going to see miracles. And the problems in this world, it's like Pastor said Wednesday, Satan has a scheme, but God has a plan. I'm watching God. What they do is irrelevant. I'm watching God. I'm happy. I'm laughing. The storm is raging out there, but I'm listening to the still small voice. God ain't in the earthquake, the fire and the wind and all that junk they do. The Egyptian junk, that's their problem. I'm watching God so I can help who I can and be the man God called me to be.
Amen.
Good Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll bless us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Yeah.